and welcome to the Central Work Script Club. I'm Patricia Milton, and for our first play of 2021, we read Winter by Julie Jensen. Julie has written over 30 plays, all of them professionally produced, a dozen of them published. Her work has won 10 national awards and has been produced widely in this country and in Europe. She makes her home now in Salt Lake City. Winter was National New Play Network's 62nd rolling world premiere, receiving three productions: Salt Lake City Acting Company, Rivendell Theater Ensemble in Chicago, and at Central Works in 2017. Thank you for joining us, Julie.
Thank you for asking me, Patricia. Appreciate it.
I want to know a little bit about the journey of your career as a playwright. So what are some moments, memories, or productions that particularly stick with you?
It's a long journey. It's a long path, a long road, because I'm old. I started to write plays because I failed as an actor, and I realized that you had to be invited on stage to be an actor. Mm-hmm. And as a playwright, you did not. You could do it whenever you wanted. They didn't have to produce it, but you could do it. So I never turned back. I've been a playwright ever since. That's age about 22. I've loved it. I have despaired for it. I have been in agony about it. I stick with it because it is the most satisfying work I've ever known and could imagine. Greatest moments, one of which was that production of Winter in Berkeley. That actress who did Annis, very, very minimal. I love that kind of performance. Boy, was she good. A production I had in London of a play called Two-Headed, done by a couple of kids, and they put it together by themselves, and then they performed it underneath a big building that I think was an apartment building. And it was on the footings of the old Rose Theater that Shakespeare and various friends of ours used to use. So the footings were still there and outlined in neon. And this play was in that little space down there. And it was fabulous. I just loved it. A production in New York was exciting because it was in New York, not necessarily because it was the best production. I've liked everything about being a playwright that involves writing and less about production. Productions make you nutty, but the rehearsal process is wonderful. Writing, I just love the writing part.
Let's turn to Winter. It's adapted from a short story, Roebeck, by Margaret Pabst Batten, who was a medical ethicist and an advocate for end-of-life choice. Would you call the play a straight or a loose interpretation of the short story?
It is the loosest possible one. I say in the title page that it's inspired by that story rather than adapted from. Mm. I'm perfectly willing and proud to claim Peggy Batten for a colleague and a friend and a helper on this play. But the play is way, way different from the story. It has basically the same characters. I mean, those characters are all in the story. But the arc of the play, the setting, where we are, when we go, and all of that is vastly different. I remember when we first started to go to work on this, Peggy's quite opinionated, as am I. And I said, okay, Peggy, this is a deal. This play is mine. It's based on or inspired by your story, but it is not your play. It is my play, and I get to do whatever I want to. That set all the ground rules, and we never had any trouble whatsoever. We got along fine. She had opinions. I said, you can have opinions about anything. You can tell me anything you want to, but I will do what I think is right for the play. So that's how it worked. And it was easy.
That's great. So you were the decision maker and her input was welcome, but she was not making any decisions around the adaptation.
That's right. That's right. The play was the play and the play was mine.
Great. As far as the Central Works production, a lot of the audiences were really touched by the questions raised by the play, the situation that the characters are in. I would think as a playwright that you are proud of that. But what I wanted to ask is, what are you proudest of with this play, Winter?
First of all, I'm really proud of the character of Annis. It's very hard to write a good character based on somebody who is only half there or even three quarters there, but not fully herself.
Yes.
And I knew from the outset that I wanted a really interesting woman, not somebody who's kind of staring blankly and imagining a past that she can no longer articulate. So I had to add what I call episodes, which are little mini strokes. Mm-hmm. And I added them into the play so that we could understand that she might really be more fully in charge of herself than your regular run-of-the-mill dementia patient. That doesn't make an interesting enough character.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm proud of that character of Annis. I love her sense of humor. I love her tenacity. I love how strong and brave she is. Brave, really brave. The fact that the audiences are moved is most gratifying because I think it's an issue we all have to face, whether in our parents or relatives or in ourselves. And it's something the culture hasn't really grappled with. We aren't dealing with it even yet. We need to. Animals at the pound have a better experience at the end of their lives than we people. And it's just not acceptable. So I'm gratified when people are moved by it and who have experiences related to it and find truth and a sense of justice in this play.
Well said. So Winter deals with a variety of themes. It explores family, memory, and death. Are these themes that occur other places in your work, and are there other themes that you return to again and again?
Fabulous question, and I don't know how to answer it. What I would say is that I'm really not interested in the same themes over and over. I always want to do something that I haven't done or hasn't been done.
Mm-hmm.
This play is about something we don't really talk about. And as soon as I find one of those subjects, I think I should talk about that. So the notion of something new, something different, something I haven't done before, something that the theater hasn't really encountered very often or at all, those are subjects that I'm curious about and interested in. In fact, the play I'm working on now is about three women who are pregnant and none of them should be. Not planned. It's a play about the time between suspecting one is pregnant and any decision, and that time when women are alone. And that has never been done, never talked about, never discussed, except in one positive way, which is, oh, you're goody, I'm pregnant. And that's not the subject of my play. Anything that hadn't been done, I would like to do it. That's, again, what Winter does.
I know Central Works likes to produce plays that generate conversation after the play. And I think that Winter is one of those plays that does that terrifically. I mean, you might leave in silence, but at some point you're going to discuss it. And that, I think, is one of the things that theater does best.
Doesn't it? Oh, I just love that. And that production, perhaps also credit to your audience, incited more conversation than I had experienced before. We need to do that. I think that's where theater works well and maybe best. If you can have some encounter with your colleagues or the artists on the stage, that makes all the difference. If we can recall our own parents' strife or our own questionable future and gain some comfort or insight, we've succeeded as people in the theater. And mm-hmm. That's my goal.
Or even grapple with the question.
Of course.
Right? Not yes. Necessarily, maybe there isn't an answer.
There isn't an answer a lot of times. No, yeah. You're right.
Well, I would love to know about your work as a playwright in the rehearsal room, rewriting, bringing new pages, and how you work with actors as far as actors impacting your work in development.
Actors are fellow professionals. I value them so highly that sometimes I think they're more important than anybody else. Their work always informs, and in the best productions, their work gives you more than you could have imagined. You've got a floor in your mind of how the performances look or how the production looks. And those actors that can really surprise you and say something more than you imagined was there, that's something divine. I don't normally deal with rewrites, particularly in subsequent productions, but with the premiere, I'm always trying something else, seeing if this works better than that. Is the rhythm better if I do this? Actors always guide that. They're geniuses in their own special way. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Often there's something in the work that I didn't see because it came out of my subconscious, but the actors can see it.
Exactly. Not only that, it's present. Yes.
Which is also nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
I'm very interested in National New Play Network, the rolling premiere process. Winter was one of the plays that they rolled out in several places. Can you talk about that?
Sure. National New Play Network is kind of a clearinghouse for plays. It's a little bit like a publisher in a way, because what a publisher does is publish an acting version of the script. You can get it pretty cheaply, and then you can read the play and decide if you want to do it. National New Playwork does something similar, only they don't publish it exactly. They do a festival, and they do showcases of the plays, and they also allow member theaters to submit plays that they think are appropriate. And then the really nice part is that if more than three theaters are interested in producing the play, they call it a rolling world premiere. So they produce it in the same season, and there is some monetary reward for the theater. Mm-hmm. And so it encourages new work, it endorses playwrights, and it makes possible this otherwise very difficult road of getting introduced to theaters you don't know. Mm-hmm. And that is, as we all know, it's just very, very difficult. The National New Play Network has managed to make that a little bit easier. It gives us all a chance to meet one another where otherwise it's way, way difficult.
Right. It also gets you a second production.
That's right. Yeah. Second, third, sometimes
more than
that.
That's
yes.
Right.
And that's hard. That's really hard. Yeah.
It's very
you
hard.
Get the world premiere kind of with your friends, but then that second one, oh my God. Yeah. No, it's really hard. And if they don't get the world premiere, somebody gets the world premiere, they get to call it a world premiere, which it is. Exactly. The second, third, fourth, whatever productions are assured.
Great. You had different theaters doing Winter. What were the changes or differences among the productions?
The woman who played Annis at Salt Lake Acting Company, which is where the play premiered, is a friend of mine and wonderful actress. Wonderful, wonderful. And just a fabulous woman. Her temptation with the play was to be a little bit more theatrical and dramatic. She's more comfortable with Medea than Pinter.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge there was to get her to trust that really simple, plain, kind of funny, kind of oddball character. She ended up being wonderful. If Ann Dekker's ever in a play in Salt Lake, it fills up. That's how would you like that? It just fills up. She has an audience built in. The production in Chicago at the Rivendell Theater was directed by two people. And I think we learned at the end of that, not because the production was bad necessarily, but two people directing something is hard.
Mm.
And they kept having trouble getting out of each other's way rather than to talking to the actress. So I think we learned that in the process. The actress is really incredible. Your production in Berkeley, the most minimal actress I have ever seen. Talk about trust yourself. I just loved it. And I had never seen anybody quite as simple and unadorned as that. And the character of Annis is a poet. She's in her head. She can play a little bit, but she's not somebody who's been expressing herself physically and vocally all her life. So I really loved that performance enormously. Your production had the simplest possible set. And so everything was just a suggestion of something. And I liked that very much. The production in Salt Lake had the busiest, biggest, scariest set you've ever seen. And I said to the designer at one point, take a look at this play again. It is really, really minimal. The characters don't say things unless they really need to say them. Can we cut back a little bit on this set? Well, we didn't. And he's a brilliant designer, but my God, it was huge. It was a very successful production, but I would probably have chosen the simpler set. The production in Chicago, it's a storefront theater, Rivendell. It seats about 60 people, maybe. And very simple. You have to be simple. But it was much more complicated than Central Works because they had a lot of designers. So the episodes, for example, we had neon running around the edge of the ceiling, which was kind of interesting. But we ended up cutting it because it looked like we were, I don't know, taking off on a spaceship or something. It said something wrong. It didn't. It said ignition rather than an interruption in consciousness. Mm-hmm. So we had to cut a very potentially very exciting idea.
Well, I do want to acknowledge that Phoebe Moyer was pianist at Central Works.
Thank you. I'd forgotten her name. Yes.
That's fine. And I think it's very interesting. Gary Graves, who was the director,
yes,
says that at Central Works, you have the Aristotelian idea of spectacle is something that Aristotle says theater should have. And he says at Central Works, the actors actually are the spectacle.
Well, you're in the same room with them, and not just a theater, but in the same room, they could be in your living room, and it's very close. You can see everything and experience with them their own emotions. So anything overstated is going to become a little weird. Yeah, Phoebe was fabulous. God, I loved that lecture.
So I want to ask about the book that you wrote about playwriting. And I know this because I own it and read it and have read it. Can you tell me about how that came to be?
I just got a job running the graduate playwriting program at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. And I was doing a gig at Ohio State and I was trying to quit smoking. So I thought, okay, yeah. If I work on a play, that'll make me want to smoke. But if I write this little book, I can do that, not smoke, and give me something to do. I was staying in James Thurber's house. So I thought that the spirit of humor might invade, and that would be lovely. So what I tried to do was write the simplest possible approach to writing a play. No exercises, but just how I go about it. I didn't want to ever say, you should never, or please don't think of ever doing this. I tried not to be prescriptive in that way. And then I wanted the book to take about the amount of time to read as to read a play, 60, 80, 100 pages. And then I had a hard time getting it published because they wanted 200 pages and a lot of exercises. But I tell you, that book is far and away the most successful thing I've ever done. if I ever am, I don't know, at another theater or at a conference or something, and they'll say, oh, you wrote that book is what you did. And I say, yeah. And that's what they care about is that book. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy. I think it's a good book. It takes about an hour to read. And I also like it for the fact that and I still do it myself, I kind of forget stuff. I think, oh, I don't need that much conflict or that want. I don't need that want. It's not such a big deal. But if I go over that book again, I think, oh, yeah, if I've skipped over something, it reminds me of what I've got to get back to. And it is the essentials. It's not very sophisticated beyond that.
Do you have favorite authors and who might they be?
Oh, yeah. They've changed over the years a little bit. I used to always go with Marcia Norman and Beth Henley and Paula Vogel, and those people are about my age, Edward Albee, Harold Pinter. But now Sarah Kane, Sarah Rule, Brendan Jacobs Jenkins, Irene Fornes always is a favorite of mine. Paula Vogel still is. Mm-hmm. Stephen Edley Gerges, all of them really interested in challenging the assumptions of theater, that if you had read any of them 50, 60 years ago, you wouldn't have known what to make of them. But now they make sense because we are challenging the assumptions of theater. We are looking at it in different ways, trying to make it a medium that's exciting rather than playing always on realism. I like playwrights really who kick the side out of the box. Even if I don't always do that myself, I certainly love playwrights who do it.
Great. Finally, how are you doing during this particular time that we're in? And what's tugging at you right now?
Grateful that we have a new president, for sure. Mm-hmm. The first 3 or 4 months of the pandemic, I spent in the yard making an art installation out of the front yard. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't figure out what it was that I cared about. And I've never, ever been in that position. I've always had something to work on or thought I could do something. And I was simply mute. So every day I just pick up my bucket of stuff and go out and work. Since then, I've been working because of a production of a play that really was conceived as a very theatrical, physical performance production. It was picked up for production, but then they, of course, because of the pandemic, had to switch it to an audio version. So the play has to not be seen, but heard and only heard. And so the adaptation was huge. The play is so much different. It's got the same subject and characters, but none of the method of the other one. Now I'm feeling a little bit more as if maybe the theater will return. I think it won't return as it was at all, that maybe it's going to be redefined in certain ways. I look at that list of playwrights that I love and I think, ooh, can we do The Octoroon, Brendan Jacobs Jenkins play? Could we do that now? Are we too far away from that kind of theatricality? I don't know. I don't think it would be picked up quickly. I think we're going back to a sense of smallness about plays and theater. And that scares me a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it will be redefined, and what's most important is that it will reemerge. But it has been such a sad and frightening experience to see the art form I love and have spent my life working in suddenly muted, just simply gone mute. And that gives me trepidation, to say the least. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure where we will be. I've got a play I've been working on several years about Maud Adams, who was a professional actress in the early part of the 20th century. And she's from Utah. And I always wanted to do a play about her, but really not her mother, but who was an actress as well and didn't get famous. Mm. The mother always wanted, of course, to be famous and well-known. And her daughter was famous from the age of 5 and just never had to worry or struggle at all. That's a subject that I am kind of interested in, that relationship from mother-daughter. So I might go back to that. I'm not sure. I'm not sure where I am with anything.
So I have no idea about theater also. When I saw certain plays being done, they seemed safe. Plays like Godspell or something.
Yes.
And I just, that is not appealing to me. I would not risk my health to go see Godspell.
No, I would either. I was looking at the New Yorker the other day, several years ago, they used to list everything in New York. There would be 50 things that you could go to, 50 plays in the theater section. Now, there was one thing listed, Meet Me in St. Louis.
Yeah.
I thought, my God, what are we going to do? What is this? And can you really see Mimi in St. Louis? I doubt it. But that was the only thing listed in their theater section of the New Yorker. So I don't know where we are or where we will be. I really don't. And there's some question about whether we might just return to some kind of romantic, musical, simply staged the fantastics or something like that, that sensibility? Or will it be something totally different we've never seen before and couldn't have imagined without this? I'm hoping for the latter.
Well, I do too. And certainly the racial inequities that have been exposed, I think it's super important that theater addresses those. Yeah. I mean, that's a good thing that's come out of it.
Definitely. So. One of the things that was happening in the last few years was that there was an elevated sense of what the theater was willing to take a look at from people of color and alternative points of view. And I was so excited by the possibilities that were opening for those kinds of playwrights and that kind of point of view. And I hope that doesn't close. It must not, it should not, it must not. But, you know, if we go back to little teeny plays that are about American white families in suburbs, I don't know. A friend of mine used to say, the American theater was about families and all other theater was about all the other things. And that's kind of true. And when we've gone through this whole political upheaval and terror, and maybe that will dislodge our little fascination with American families. I don't know. I want to see a bunch of different things. I used to work a lot with the Native Voices Theater in Los Angeles and dramaturg for them and stuff. That's a culture that Native culture has fantastic stories, very theatrical way of expressing them. I'm eager to see what Native writers will do. We've not had enough of that. We've stuck to this little nugget of what we thought theatrical experiences were. Maybe it's going to open up. I hope so.
Me too, Julie. Well, listen, it has been a delight.
Thank you. I've liked it very much. Thanks for asking me. Take care, my dear.
Thanks again for joining us for the Central Works Script Club. We can't wait until we can all be together live again. Until then, please visit our website, centralworks.org, for audio plays, the Yay podcast, and more.